Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
All right, Michael, we made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve Throwhill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. First, Ted, a message for you. I know that because it says, hey, Ted, try Essential Bakery's rustic potato bread. It's so good, it'll change your religion.
Look, I love potato bread. I'm just saying, if I'm having a sandwich, it's on sourdough.
Okay. Actually, anything from Essential is awesome.
That's a good point. Right.
Today, we are toasting a man by the name of Paul Frost from lovely Bristol, England. Now, you should know he is the pub owner of a place called the Colston Arms in Kingsdown, Bristol. The name of the pub, well, I just told you that, but it's named after a 17th century guy named Edward Colston. Well, with what's been going on here in the United States and then reaching around the world, it came to people's attention that Edward Colston was also a 17th century slave trader. So this guy said, you know what, man? I am going to change the name of the pub. There was absolutely no backlash. People said, that's cool. You know, we're cool to part with that. The reason I'm toasting this guy, and keep in mind, this pub name is only temporary until he comes up with something better. But right now, instead of the Colston Arms in Kingsdown, he has temporarily renamed his pub Ye Old Pubby McDrunkface.
Sounds like you went online.
Yes. Ye Old Pubby McDrunkface is now the latest craze if you're lucky enough to get to Bristol, England.
I like it.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he said, look.
Ye Old Pubby McPubface?
Pubby McDrunkface, yeah.
Okay.
And he said, look, it's just temporary. I get the feeling it's not going to be because he said he's opened it up online for people to give suggestions. And the one thing that we know after, was it Bodie McBoatface?
Mm-hmm. Right.
A couple other things like that. Like, I think it's going to end up being Pubby McDrunkface, probably. Ye Old Pubby McDrunkface, yeah.
I'm in.
I'm in 100%.
I'm buying the t-shirt. I get the hat. I mean, you're selling merch. I got it.
That's what I mean.
Bringing it home.
If that's the name he keeps, that dude's going to do fantastic business. But to the fantastic bar, Ye Old Pubby McDrunkface.
Let's still throw in the ye old.
Oh, yeah. I think that gives it that classy English touch.
You know? Sure. Like ye old corn dog at the Renaissance Fair.
Yes.
Even though it's Bristol.
Yes. A corn dog. Nothing says ye old quite like a corn dog being handed to you by a wench. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitola!
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
Hey, Steve Throwhill, can you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Graham. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. All right, Graham, do you understand how this here game is played?
I sure do.
Fantastic. Well, we have three categories you get to pick from one of the following. We have the wonderful world of drugs. We have the category, what's in their food? And finally, the new one for this week, interior decorating, where you get to guess the foreign object that someone has stuffed into the urethra.
Let's go with drugs.
Drugs! The wonderful world of drugs. All right. Here is your story. Let me get to the story. There it is. All right.
There it is. Where is it?
It's right here. Thank God. A man who tried to steal an airplane in New Smyrna Beach on a Saturday said he needed the aircraft to transport drugs to California and meet his girlfriend there. And I'm sure his girlfriend's delighted that he implicated her to cops in a different state. Anyway, 22-year-old Robert Steinstra, he tried to take a 2008 Sakato TBM-700 aircraft. That's a fixed-wing, single-engine plane valued at about $1 million. He tried to steal it at about 1:30 in the morning. Air traffic control alerted police that a distress signal was coming from the plane. Now, the actual owner of the aircraft, when George Polachek, he informed police that he found every switch on the plane turned on, including the starter switch. The throttle was also in the up position, and that the battery was dead. Because, as it turns out, this guy that wanted to steal the plane does not actually know how to fly one. Police ended up charging this guy, Steinstra, of a grand theft over $100,000, possession of drug paraphernalia, trespass upon operational area of an airport, and possession of drugs. By the way, he was also wanted by Daytona police on charges of grand theft of a motor vehicle and leaving the scene of a crash. This guy is nothing but class. But according to a police officer, he was at the airport looking for a stolen vehicle that was taken by this guy. The officer was flagged down by a man who told him that the suspect had offered him $1,000 to give him a ride out to California. Well, when the guy turned down that ride, that's when he decided he's going to try to steal the plane. Police found the suspect sitting in the seat of a different plane, or sitting on the seat of a plane on the airport apron. When the officer contacted the guy, the man asked whether or not the officer knew how to fly an aircraft. And explained, because I don't know how, but I really need this plane because I got to fly drugs to California to give to my girlfriend. Well, he was, in fact, found in possession with drug paraphernalia, glass pipe, had remnants of meth in that, and he was arrested. So my question for you is, what drug did he decided that he needed to fly to California to give to his girlfriend? Was it ecstasy, heroin, weed, or meth?
I don't know. I feel like you wouldn't fly weed to California since it's legal there.
Yeah, but you have to keep in mind, this is the man who tried to steal the plane in spite of not knowing how to fly one. So I don't know that his decision-making...
Then he asked the officer if he knew how to fly a plane because he's moving drugs, so...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem telling him.
Yeah, I gotta fly these drugs to my girlfriend.
But I don't know how to fly it, so maybe you could help me. Look, I'll steal the plane if you can fly it.
Yeah. Now, I don't have a lot of personal experience in the world of drugs, so could I get some advice from the panel here on what they think these drugs might be?
The choices were weed, meth...
Ecstasy, heroin, weed, or meth?
He seems pretty ambitious. He apparently stole a car just to get to the airport.
Yeah, he stole a car to get to the airport. Tried to steal two different planes.
I'm going
to
say he's not on heroin. And since OxyContin is not an option, I'm going to narrow it down to meth and ecstasy. My final answer is going to be meth.
Yeah, that does sound like a methy thing to do. This was Florida?
Florida.
You want to fly from Florida to California. Beach.
Yeah, also, you kind of feel like a stoner would not be... Like, you're going to make some different decisions when you're stoned, but I can't imagine you're going to drive to an airport and then admit to the cop you can't fly the plane. Plus, like he said, weed's legal in California.
Mm-hmm.
And weed, I mean, it's California. I mean, they've been pretty pro-weed for a long time. Right? You have the Haight-Ashbury, you have the Emerald, the Emerald Triangle, like all that kind
of
stuff.
You got Mexico right there.
You got Mexico right there, right? You don't meet a lot of Californians who are like, I hate weed.
Yeah, I can't find it.
All right, Ted, what are you thinking?
You know, I'm with you. Meth seems right because you get fired up. You've been up for a few days. You're not making the best decisions. And you're like, screw it. I'm methed out. I'll go fly a plane.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You going to go meth?
I want to say ecstasy every time. I don't say ecstasy, it's ecstasy. But Miles, I'm going to agree with you today that it feels pretty methy. He's out there. He's missing two teeth and he can't fly planes.
He made a meth.
All right, Mr. Cracker, what do you think? What's your final answer here?
Ted seems to be right most of the time, so I'm just going to go with meth.
Okay.
All right, Graham, we're going to find out if this guy was on ecstasy, heroin, weed, or meth next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All right, we had to do a Florida profile this. New Smyrna Beach.
That's right.
It took me years of life to figure out how to pronounce correctly. We have a man who tried to steal an airplane in Florida, tried to steal a car, tried to get a guy to drive him to California. That's the location of his girlfriend. Why does he want to go? He wants to deliver drugs to his girlfriend. Offered a guy $1,000 to drive across the country.
No, he offered the guy $1,000. He offered a different pilot $1,000 to fly him.
Oh.
Right.
Well, that wasn't enough. Either way, he tried to steal a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And the plane itself alerted the owner of the plane that someone had turned all the operational stuff on and it was going to take off. So the guy called police. Police show up and the guy said, hey, can you help me fire this bad boy up? I need to fly to California and get my girlfriend some drugs.
Keep in mind, these are not plain clothes cops. These are cops that look like cops with badges and the whole uniform. And he's still like, yeah, glad you're here, dog.
And this is a $1 million plane, and he doesn't know how to fly, but he's going to try. So the question is, what drugs were this guy on? Ecstasy, heroin, weed, or methamphetamines?
All three of you, Graham has since hung up, but all three of you, Ted, Miles, and Graham, all agreed that it was meth. People said, man, Steve said he had a glass pipe with meth residue. Is that a trick? And it's not a trick. Someone else says, did nobody pay attention to Thurl saying a pipe was found with traces of meth? Well, obviously not, because everyone agreed that it was meth.
Oh!
But it was not. This guy is so stupid. Believe it or not, he was trying to fly several hundred pounds of weed to his girlfriend in California.
That makes absolutely no sense.
None of this makes sense.
No.
Well, that's why the residue had meth in it.
Yeah, I think his decision-making was meth-fueled, but it was weed that he intended to fly across the country to deliver to his girlfriend in California, who can't find weed, apparently.
Yeah, I completely missed that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Now for all TV news all the time, and it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
All right, your choices today will be Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
Seth Meyers.
All right.
James Corden. Or Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it Late Night?
It is right there for you in the title. All these guys have a team of professional writers to help them come up with their monologues each and every night. It is up to you to determine, is this an actual late night joke and from whom? Or could it be the Ted Smith original?
Baseball's 2020 minor league season is canceled, so I guess you'll have to make your cheeseburger in between two Krispy Kremes at home now.
I'm going to say either Seth Meyers.
Ted Smith.
Ted Smith! Ballpark food at the minor league stadiums is kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Where was the minor league stadium that was serving family kids? It's like somewhere in the South.
They were doing a whole meal.
Yeah, you could get like a whole family meal.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I mean, they make it more attractive to go to the ballpark than most places do.
For sure.
Yeah, especially if you're... Look, man, when I was in Hagerstown, Maryland, there was nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing to do there. But they had the Hagerstown Suns. They had $2 beer night once a week when they would have a weeknight game.
Yeah.
To get people to go, like, people would show up on Friday or Saturday nights, but if it's Tuesday night game or whatever, it was $2 beer night. And there might have been 35 people in the stands. We were having a blast. Like, the DJ was playing great music. Like, that's all it was. It was no good food. There was nothing. It was just still a great time.
Yeah, man.
It's
cheap and affordable. People like cheap, affordable stuff. Let's see. The Oval Office has pressure sensors in the floor so the Secret Service can monitor exactly where the president is when they're not allowed inside. They also have to feel on top of the TV to see if he's been watching it.
Ted Smith.
Yeah, that was fine. Which, that joke is dated. Nobody has a TV that you can even feel the top of anymore.
No tube TVs anymore?
Right, exactly.
Like, I think I had the last one.
As I'm reading that joke out loud, I'm like, that's a really dated joke. Unless you're like in some terrible, terrible hotel.
All right. I believe that would be a motel.
Yeah, right?
And we
or hospital.
Every year.
If you guys saw this, but the Guinness Brewery in Ireland is using its hundreds of thousands of unused kegs of leftover beer to fertilize Christmas trees. So drinking really does make the holidays.
Seth Meyers.
James Corden.
That's Smith.
No. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't get you quick enough.
Oh.
That is kind of wild.
That's cool, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I just realized?
Christmas and
I
think trees are a lot like us.
Just give us some Guinness.
Right? Just plop me in a bowl of Guinness. I'll get better.
I want to say the Guinness Brewery, they signed their lease however many hundreds of years ago, but the lease runs through the year 10,000 something.
Mm-hmm.
It's what, like $75 a year, $75 a month. Like, it's ridiculous. They're fine. Like, they signed this lease. No one's going to break the lease. It costs them, again, it's either $75 a month, $75 a year, whatever. And it runs through the year 10,000 something.
I drink Guinness like you guys drink eggnog. So it's like this little streak I do, and then I stick to it, and then it's gone. You know what I mean? About 2 months or a month or whatever, I'll go to a place that has Guinness on tap. It's really good.
All right.
And I'll always get it. You know what I mean? Get two or three of those and just like, oh, I really like this beer. Next thing you know, like, it's in like the McRib. It's gone. I don't know what happened. And then, like, you know, I'll bring it back. You know what I mean? It's the only beer I streak on.
Yeah, I'll grab a Guinness tonight. Not what you're talking about. Sounds good.
I mean, hell, it's 50 degrees July 1st. You might as well have some chili.
You know what I'm going to say?
Right.
It's a light beer.
Yeah.
It is.
It is a light beer.
You know, there's only two, they've only had one other brewery outside of Dublin.
Oh, so it's still made in the same place?
No. There's only one other brewery outside of Ireland.
Is it the one in Baltimore County?
Yeah.
Okay.
They make the Guinness Blonde there.
I didn't know that.
Have you had the Guinness Blonde?
I have not.
I have. Quick side note. I flew back to Baltimore for the Patriots game, Monday night game, whatever it was in October, and everywhere you went in that city. So it's a big deal that Guinness finally had a second brewery, and it's right outside of Baltimore City in Baltimore County, and they're not terribly associated with each other. Either way, they're doing this Guinness Blonde. Everywhere you go in Baltimore, there's a try the Guinness Blonde, and so finally I went to this Irish pub. Like, let me try the blonde. It was spectacular.
Hmm. Yeah.
Dude, yeah, I drank a lot of it.
So, this is sad. Comedy legend Carl Reiner died.
Yeah.
He was 98. So, in Carl's defense, he had a good life.
Yes, he did.
Right. You know what I mean?
He had a very good life.
Yeah, 98. I will say this. I confuse Carl Reiner a lot with Rob Reiner.
Sure.
Turns out that's his kid.
Yeah.
I knew that.
I was not positive.
Really?
Yeah. Right? Because I think maybe I thought Rob Reiner was older than he was, and I was like, no way.
Can't believe
it. It's just the fact that his dad's so old. Meathead is probably, 60, 70 years old, too?
Yeah, he's got to be, right?
Yeah, easily.
Meathead.
Rob Reiner.
From All in the Family.
Right. All right.
He was always called Meathead.
Meathead directed Spinal Tap.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you know him from doing stuff like that. Carl Reiner directed one of the greatest comedies of all time, The Jerk.
Yep.
Starring Stephen Martin.
Pretty sure he was involved with Fletch,
too. Did you call him Stephen Martin? Stephen Martin?
Stephen L. Martin. Attorney at law.
What are you, his mom and your dad?
Part-time banjo player, if you need that.
He's a wild and crazy guy.
He is.
The Jerk is a funny movie. I have watched it, you know, in the last year. It holds up. It's very dated.
Sure.
But it's super funny. And there's a lot of references Miles and I drop all the time about pizza in a cup and stuff. Sure. That'll make a lot more sense.
I drove that other cup of pizza place in town right out of business.
Right. If you watch that. I would also say for a lot of people, you might first recognize Carl Reiner from the Ocean's 11 movie. He plays Sal. Oh, man. I got to. Hang on. I had it highlighted in here.
He's like the original Ocean's 11?
No. The one with George Clooney.
Oh, okay. George Clooney.
Okay. Because he could have done the first one.
He played Sal Bloom in George Clooney's Ocean 11.
Okay.
Movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, he's like the older guy that's supposed to be like the rich whale that goes into the casino. It's Ocean's 11. You've seen that movie. I don't explain it to you. So that's Carl Reiner. But he's a super talented dude. Everybody knew him from the 50s and this and that. Him and Mel Brooks were super funny. So the classic routine, the 2,000-year-old man. So basically, this is them doing that comedy bit on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
This gentleman here is one of the phenomena of the world. He is 2,000 years old. Is that true, sir?
Yes. You want to see my driver's license?
No. We have it authenticated. The Mayo Clinic has checked you out and said that you are 2,000. In the origin of words, for instance, a simple word like cheese, where did that come
cheese
from?
Cheese is a lovely story how we get the word cheese in our vernacular. In the year 28-, there was an old farmer, and a gentleman came to his land and said, I'm so thirsty, may I have a little dipper milk? And he said, certainly, go over to the barrel. He not knowing that the barrel of milk had soured, see? So this poor beggar man came to the barrel and opened up from the top and looked in and looked down and went, cheese! Yes!
That's the word now again.
That's how the word cheese came into being.
Very onomatopoetic.
Yes, and that's the truth.
Yes.
Right. I mean, that's from the 50s. And right. I was like, oh, man, that's still pretty funny. So he was a performer and a writer on a show called Your Show of Shows, which is basically the precursor to Saturday Night Live.
Ah, okay.
The other people that would have been on there, you would know Mel Brooks, Woody Allen, Sid Caesar, Neil Simon. They were all on there. But that 2,000-year-old man stuff, they got 5 albums out of that, TV appearances, and an animated special in 1975.
They're basically, the idea was this character is, in fact, Jesus.
Okay.
So the idea of the 2,000-year-old man.
Well, they never said that. It's just
it's Jesus.
And you know they're you know him and Mel on the comedy albums are two Jewish guys making Jesus jokes.
Right.
And they couldn't believe that, you know what I mean, like that this thing, like at one point in time they were recording one of their first comedy albums, but they didn't realize they were recording a comedy album. They just went in, started rolling tape and doing this thing. And they narrowed it down to like 74 minutes or something of stand-up comedy. And they cut this record, according to something I watched the other night. And Cary Grant walks in. He's like the man in Hollywood at this point in time.
Sure, he's Cary Grant.
And they're like, listen to this. And he's laughing his ass off. And he says, I want to take this. I want to take this on my trip. And they said, okay, well, here's a copy of it, whatever. They didn't know he was going to England. They also didn't know that he was going to play this for the Queen. So he was going to visit the Queen of England. He was staying in Buckingham Palace. He was flying back. You know, he comes back and he says, the Queen loved it. And they're like,
Queen who?
Well, Queen what? And they're like, you know, the Queen. That's how Cary Grant rolled. So that kind of propelled them into this thing. Yeah, they wanted all the copies of it.
Turns out if you get her blessing, good things tend to happen.
So in England, they wanted copies of this comedy album.
And if you don't get her blessing, you have to move back to Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Somebody get that.
We got you.
Let's see. Obviously, everybody really liked the guy. Steve Martin said goodbye to the greatest mentor in movies and in my life. George Clooney, you know, just said he made every room he walked into funnier, smarter, and kinder. So, yeah, it's one of those things. I will say this. My dad used to tell me all the time. He gets up every morning and reads the obituaries to make sure he's not dead. I guess that was one of Carl Reiner's like famous jokes.
Okay.
Right. Because there was one time some other actress had died. They didn't have a good picture of her, so they put in a picture of him, and he's like, it scared the crap out of me. let's see. Let's get into some stuff here. All right. The BET Awards attracted 3.7 million viewers.
Okay.
Which, I feel like, you know, that was... I don't know if BET Awards have always been on mainstream TV.
I don't think they have. I think with what's going on now, I want to say like CBS or whoever ended up broadcasting it. But yeah, typically you'd find the BET Awards conveniently on the BET network.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, kind of like the ESPYs. Well, a channel probably going to be ESPN, perhaps ABC. But yeah, I think this is the first year that they actually did it on network.
Yeah.
I mean, it is BET.
It's just also something new that was on.
Mm-hmm,
like, you know what? Let's put it on the big network. the VMAs, the MTV Music Video Music Awards. Miles, you'll be watching this now. I know how you are.
I've got it.
They're happening on August 30th in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn.
Is anyone going to be there?
What do they? I know they're not honoring videos. So what is the premise of this thing now? What has it evolved into?
Video Music Awards?
Yeah.
Well, there's still, people still put out videos.
People make a lot of videos,
You just got to go to YouTube and stuff and watch them.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. MTV, I mean, that's just MTV's thing. They just don't show music videos, right?
Yeah.
But people still making them, so they still get honored.
Yeah.
And you still, and people still go and find them. I mean, look, there's some videos on YouTube that will shock you how many downloads.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, look.
Well, they have a different platform now. If you want to go see it, you can just
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at, like, any time. I've never seen a Taylor Swift video, not all the way through. I don't care about her one way or another. But you'll read something in the trades, and you're like, oh, my God, like 100 million people downloaded this thing. Like,
but Jesus. If you do get a video made, I mean, your record company's got to be behind you. To spend extra money, you know what I mean?
Independent artists do it, too.
Sure.
There's SoundCloud rappers that have music videos.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the other thing you got to remember, too, is, like, it's not like there's nowhere else to get it. So when MTV started, it was pretty wild because you could watch the music videos. Nowadays, it's like, yeah, man, let's just look it up.
Look at it like this. The sale of porn magazines has gone down dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can sit in front of my computer and get specifically what I'm looking for.
Not only that, but half the time you need to buy a song. If you go to YouTube,
right,
you can just watch it for free.
Yeah. What was I going to say? So now it's kind of questioning whether they'll have fans there or not. The governor, Andrew Cuomo, said the event will follow all safety guidelines, including limited or no audience.
I think we should all take the NFL approach to everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's great to be there. It's very cool. Do it every once in a while. But if you can, watch it on television.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because it's a better sometimes experience. Just take that in. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that you don't want to go to an NFL game, but probably get a better view. You know, just take what you can right now. Even if you like going tailgating, tailgate in your backyard. Do it every way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in theory, you could still do a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah. Get up at 6 a.m.
the Kentucky Derby now. Derby week kicks off September 1st, and the race will be Sunday, September the 5th at Churchill Downs in Louisville. This is a big change because generally the Kentucky Derby's in the first weekend of May, along with a massive boxing fight. It's kind of the kickoff to the Triple Crown, as opposed to this year, they already ran the Belmont, which I think had no. Was there fans there?
No, there were no fans.
So has the Preakness always been the first? I thought it was the
second.
Derby.
No, it's always the second.
So the Derby's still the second, right?
No. The Derby, it goes Derby, Preakness, Belmont Stakes.
So
every year without, so Belmont ran, and then I guess, so Preakness is what, will be
next.
Final leg? Or are they still making it, though?
I think Preakness is in the middle.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. The big thing here is Kentucky was like, hey, we're going to have the Derby. There'll be some fans, like we're, venues won't be operating at full capacity, but but there'll be people there. You're supposed to wear a mask unless they're in a reserve seat. So if you paid enough, you're fine.
You're safe.
It's
right. They have hand sanitizers, this and that. But also, again, we're sitting here in early July talking about something that's supposed to happen in September.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they'll run the race. It's just whether or not fans are there. And frankly, most of us don't go to the Kentucky Derby. So for me, like watching the Belmont, I didn't care. It's not something I go to, but I watch the races I always do on TV.
Did you listen to any of the interviews after the Belmont with the jockeys, the trainers, just anybody involved? Because they go back and they're talking to this one dude. He's a trainer. And I think it was a winning horse. And that horse is pretty legit.
That horse was insane.
And he's like, hey, man, what was it like running without fans? And he's like, to be honest with you, it was great. Because the horses don't get spooked.
Right.
They don't get hot. They don't have to be paraded around. They basically don't do any of that initial stuff where it's loud. There's music. There's people, yelling and screaming. The jockeys don't worry about, the family coming in and all these other things. It's just about the horses running this race.
And they were focused.
Well, and the horse racing's been going on the whole time. If you watch Fox Sports 1 or whatever, like a lot of horse tracks have stayed open. There hasn't been any fans or anything, but the horses have been running.
People going to bet.
And I can't remember the last time a Preakness ran without a pouring down rain, so.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants to be there anyway. It just seems like that always turns into a monsoon.
Yeah, well, Kentucky Derby's kind of the fancy one, right? You wear your seersucker, this and that.
Mint juleps.
Mint juleps, exactly. Whereas the Preakness in the middle is a true Baltimore kind of East Coast. Look, one day, as the Preakness was on, right? I never went to the Preakness, but I knew a girl, and she was like, that's not the real Preakness trophy. And we were like, what do you mean? And she was like, it's at my grandparents' mansion out in, like, Bel Air or something. Mm-hmm. So, like,
you never went to Preakness?
I never did.
They made me cover Preakness for the sports station for like 3 years. And I just said, look, man, you have to understand what you're dealing with in the infield, as they call it. It is a tsunami of sloppy drunkenness. Not like kind of drunk. I mean, it is sloppy, sloppy, sloppy drunk. I'm like, this job sucks. And the problem is when you walk around with the microphone around drunk people, everybody yeah. wants to talk
Trust
to you.
Trust me, if you got a little rub on something, horse racing is something you can always get into. Like even an afternoon at Emerald Downs.
Horse racing is great.
Oh, man, and sometimes when they'll run the Belmont there, whatever, they'll stop the races, then show the race, and then run one final more race.
I have never had a bad time at Emerald Downs.
Yeah, see?
I have not always had a lucrative time, but I've always had a fun time.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Survey says the ideal penis size to make a woman orgasm has been revealed. And the survey says it's not you. Meanwhile, a man is hospitalized after taking horse tranquilizers and waking up feeling like poop. Arkansas man shoots up pizzeria after they don't put enough toppings on his pie. Safe to say, if you go on vacation, your expenses this year will be quite high. And an Amazon driver quits in the middle of a shift, abandons his truck with all the packages and the keys inside. It is time for your headline.
Now, it's time to hit the head lines. Here's my car.
All right, we go to our top story where we go to the internet where the survey of surveys was conducted. The survey interviewed over 4,000 women and found what the ideal size was to bring them to the grand finale of their sexual encounter. The research combined the success rate, as it were, with the various sizes and found out that the ideal size is 8 inches.
Eight inches.
Yeah.
And this is the sound spiraling around the world right now.
Mm-hmm. They said, don't worry, though, if you have a 1-inch penis, there's a 1 in 10 chance that you can make a woman happy.
Correct.
Well, thanks.
Is your chance just up to 8?
I know. It's like, oh, my God.
So here's the thing. Garnering the highest success rate at 44% was 8 inches. The numbers also average anywhere from 4 to 11 inches, having a 30% success rate. So even with the ideal 8, you're only getting about 44% of the time.
Good enough for me. It's 100% better. But also, I'm just thinking about people like, oh, I need 11 inches. Like, good gugamugga.
Right.
You What's need wrong? To go to Somalia. I mean, like, 11 inches? That's, wow.
That's, you are, you're going artificial the entire way.
Shaquille O'Neal's like, I love this news.
Right. However, even an 8-inch penis on Shaquille is not going to look that big.
Don't matter.
No.
I mean,
a 15-inch penis on Shaquille O'Neal is not going to look big.
Exactly.
Daunting.
Nothing's going to.
His penis probably looks like my forearm, and it does not look big on him.
Looks like that old picture of Andre the Giant holding a beer can. Right. You know?
Oh, God.
You gotta.
However, most women said the tried and true method that we've all heard before. It's more about how you apply the.
Sure.
Moving on here, another.
Hey, look, man, everybody's got the same ingredients. How do you cook, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, fine. At the end of the day, right, there's another naked person next to you. Correct. You can figure something out.
Right. Well, make it work. Another news. Over in Arkansas, a man stormed into a pizzeria that he had just ordered from, irritated at the portion of toppings on his pizza. Believing that he was shorted, he asked to speak to the store manager, who was then called by the young lady running the register. Not happy with the phone call, the man threw the phone at the lady, striking her in the face before walking out to his van and returning with a gun. In that time, the employee had locked the door, so the man shot the glass out of the door before fleeing. Police later tracked him down and arrested him.
What topping that was skimped on would make you mad enough to shoot up the place? I'm thinking it's got to be pepperoni.
Right.
I'm wondering if it was something else.
Pineapple.
But, like, look, you know, man, if you know the place, you know whether to order extra whatever.
Sure.
Just based on what they normally do. So if you ordered from this place before, you know you might want to ask for extra pepperoni, right, if that's or extra
but
cheese.
The flip side might be that normally when he orders from this place, there's 18 pepperonis. He sounds like the kind of guy who's like, I counted. There's only 13 of them.
I think it's got to be cheese.
You think it's cheese?
I think cheese.
But just imagine, you know, just that weird little bite and there's no cheese on it or whatever.
My thing is, okay, you do realize it's a pizza. So the only thing that would be tough to kind of add after the fact about recooking the whole thing would be cheese. Anything else, like, we can hook you up. If it's that important to you, we can get more of that topping.
I'm thinking this guy just had a really, really bad day, and this was the cherry on top, as it were.
I think he's a jackass all the time.
Fair.
People have bad days, and they might say or do something stupid or slap your napkin dispenser onto the floor. Like, maybe you're having a bad day. The dude that needs to talk to a manager because there's not enough toppings on the pizza, and then you throw a phone at someone's face and then shoot out the glass. Like, I get the feeling you suck most of the time.
I will agree with Miles that it was pepperoni, though, because if you order, like, sausage on your pizza, you know that there's just kind of that little run over it with the crumbles, sure, you know, same with the, like, peppers or onions or mushrooms or anything like that. It's kind of already sparse on there. Pepperoni stacked. You get a pepperoni pizza really from anywhere. They're just going to start throwing it down.
Seen someone
you know when you're shorted on pepperoni.
To a pizza and pick a topping off, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's only pepperoni. No one's picking, oh, here's a mushroom. Or, oh, here's
I'll do it with the sausage.
I mean, look, man, you know what you're doing. You're going for the pepper.
You're right. No one pulls the green onion off to eat it.
Yeah, even if it's great, spicy Italian sausage, whatever. No, it's always pepperoni.
Here's the problem with pulling off the pepperoni, though, is that you get a big old clump of cheese with it, and like Ted said, then you get that bare bite. Now you suck.
Oh, now you know my bag rule on fries. Thank you very much. That's exactly correct. This is the exact equivalent for me on that.
Don't try to rope people into your mania.
Yeah,
you're that guy that gods like us.
If you take that piece of pepperoni off that slice,
she never liked me either.
Guess what? That's your frickin' slice.
Right. Yeah, but most people eat that slice.
No, they'll get another one with more pepperoni on and leave that one bare for you.
I don't like to go with his anger, but I'm with him. I don't know why. Like, don't look.
Thank you.
If you take a topping, you eat the slice.
That's your slice.
But I thought that was standard.
No.
Who get your hands off my slice?
Could you imagine? You get two pieces of pizza. I reach over, take your pepperoni, and eat it off.
Tell me who does that.
I got two good ones.
I've yelled at somebody at my house.
Thank you.
I don't want a whole other slice, sucker.
Don't ruin the rest of the pizza for me.
Then cut it.
Right. Then take the slicer and give yourself a sliver.
Wait, who are the people that take a piece of pepperoni off a pizza and then don't eat the slice?
You know.
Oh, dude, I want to tell
you. That's
unbelievable.
One more time, pro tip, just so you know, especially during the pandemic with delivery times a little bit later. Pro tip, honest to God, if you have a pizza cutter, order the pizza uncut.
Oh.
You get the pizza. Pop it into your oven for like 5 minutes.
All right.
And then and then cut it. Because when you cut that thing, it starts to cool like the bag of fries.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get the pizza, man, just ask if you can cut it yourself.
Aren't you the same person who has bitches that you burn your mouth? Now we know why. Yes. I want everything hotter.
Amazon driver, apparently fed up with his job, went on a tirade on Twitter after quitting. He posted that enough was enough, talking about the long hours, large deliveries, and low pay, and said that he had dropped the truck off at a local gas station and quit. He continued to call on locals to come and loot the truck out if they wanted anything from it. In a later interview, he admitted that his actions were immature and irresponsible, but enough is enough.
When did you think, I mean, You're driving for Amazon.
Right.
Everything you just described are the things that I would absolutely assume if I drove for Amazon. Yeah.
That is it for headlines with that. Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time for the return of Big Tommy. The head chef is back with Ted's Meat and Potatoes. The lovely Taryn Daly joins you next.
Yes, indeed. It is all true. But in the meantime, we be all up out this badge. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The men's room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.